Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Friday. It's July the 14th. It's day 195 in our journey through the Bible. Hey, my friends, my name's Hunter, and we are going to do what we always do every day. We're going to take a little time in God's Word, and we're going to let God's Word take a little time on us. And that, my friends, is going to be an important time in your day when you remind your heart about who you are and who He is and what He's done and what we can become in Him. So let's do that. Let's spend some time again today. Hey, if you're new here, let me just tell you that, one, welcome you, and then also let you know that we try to keep things very simple here. We simply read through the Scriptures, and over the course of a year, we will read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice, and these podcasts are baked fresh each day. That is, I am coming alongside you, with you, every day. And we've been doing that for almost 4 years now. So what do you say we get after what we do here? By reading through the book of Isaiah, chapters 19 through 21. And then we're going to finish our reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in, Isaiah chapter 19. This message came to me concerning Egypt. Look, the Lord is advancing against Egypt, riding on a swift cloud. The idols of Egypt tremble, the hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. I will make Egyptians fight against Egyptians, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city, province against province. The Egyptians will lose heart, and I will confuse their plans. They will plead with their idols for wisdom and call on spirits, mediums, and those who consult the spirits of the dead. I will hand Egypt over to a hard, cruel master. A fierce king will rule them, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The waters of the Nile will fail to rise and flood the fields. The riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals of the Nile will dry up, and the streams of Egypt will stink with rotten reeds and rushes. All the greenery along the riverbank and all the crops along the river will dry up and blow away. The fishermen will lament for a lack of work. Those who cast hooks into the Nile will groan, and those who use nets will lose heart. There will be no flax for the harvesters, no thread for the weavers. They will be in despair, and all the workers will be sick at heart. What fools are the officials of Zoan! Their best counsel to the king of Egypt is stupid and wrong. Will they still boast to Pharaoh of their wisdom? Will they dare to brag about all their wise ancestors? Where are your wise counselors, Pharaoh? Let them tell you what God plans for what the Lord of Heaven's armies is going to do to Egypt. The officials of Zoan are fools, and the officials of Memphis are deluded. The leaders of the people have led Egypt astray. The Lord has sent a spirit of foolishness on them. So all their suggestions are wrong. They cause Egypt to stagger like a drunk in his vomit. There is nothing Egypt can do. All are helpless, the head and the tail, the noble palm branch and the lowly reed. In that day the Egyptians will be as weak as women. They will cower in fear beneath the upraised fist of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Just to speak the name of Israel will terrorize them, for the Lord of Heaven's armies has laid out his plan against them. In that day, five of Egypt's cities will follow the Lord of Heaven's armies. They will even begin to speak Hebrew, the language of Canaan. One of these cities will be Heliopolis, the city of Sun. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and there will be a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness that the Lord of Heaven's armies is worshipped in the land of Egypt. When the people cry to the Lord for help against those who oppress them, he will send them a Savior who will rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. Yes, they will know the Lord and will give their sacrifices and offerings to him. They will make a vow to the Lord and will keep it. The Lord will strike Egypt. Then he will bring healing, for the Egyptians will turn to the Lord, and he will listen to their pleas and heal them. In that day, Egypt and Assyria will be connected by a highway. The Egyptians and Assyrians will move freely between their lands, and they will both worship God. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. For the Lord of Heaven's armies will say, "Blessed be Egypt, my people. Blessed be Assyria, the land I have made. Blessed be Israel, my special possession." Isaiah 20. In the year when King Sargon of Assyria sent his commander-in-chief to capture the Philistine city of Ashdod, the Lord told Isaiah, son of Amoz, "Take off the burlap you have been wearing and remove your sandals." Isaiah did as he was told and walked around naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, "My servant Isaiah has been walking around naked and barefoot for the last 3 years. This is a sign, a symbol of the terrible troubles I will bring upon Egypt and Ethiopia. For the king of Assyria will take away the Egyptians and Ethiopians as prisoners. He will make them walk naked and barefoot, both young and old, their buttocks bared to the shame of Egypt. Then the Philistines will be thrown into panic, for they counted on the power of Ethiopia and boasted of their allies in Egypt. They will say, 'If this can happen to Egypt, what chance do we have? We were counting on Egypt to protect us from the king of Assyria.'" Isaiah 21. "This message came to me concerning Babylon, the desert by the sea. Disaster is roaring down on you from the desert like a whirlwind sweeping in from the Negev. I see a terrifying vision. I see the betrayer betraying the destroyer, destroying. Go ahead, you Elamites and Medes. Attack and lay siege. I will make an end to all the groaning Babylon caused. My stomach aches and burns with pain. Sharp pangs of anguish are upon me, like those of a woman in labor. I grow faint when I hear what God is planning. I am too afraid to look. My mind reels and my heart races. I long for evening to come, but now I am terrified of the dark. Look, they are preparing a great feast. They are spreading rugs for people to sit on. Everyone is eating and drinking. But quick, grab your shields and prepare for battle. You are being attacked." Meanwhile, the Lord said to me, "Put a watchman on the city wall. Let him shout out what he sees. He should look for chariots drawn by pairs of horses and for riders on donkeys and camels. Let the watchman be fully alert." Then the watchman called out, "Day after day I have stood on the watchtower, my lord. Night after night I have remained at my post. Now at last, look, here comes a man in a chariot with a pair of horses." Then the watchman said, "Babylon is fallen, fallen. All the idols of Babylon lie broke on the ground. Oh, my people, threshed and winnowed, I have told you everything the Lord of Heaven's armies has said, everything the God of Israel has told me." This message came to me concerning Edom. Someone from Edom keeps calling to me, "Watchman, how much longer till morning? When will the night be over?" The watchman replies, "Morning is coming, but night will soon return. If you wish to ask again, then come back and ask." This message came to me concerning Arabia. "O caravans from Dedan, hide in the deserts of Arabia. O people of Timah, bring water to these thirsty people, food to these weary refugees. They have fled from the sword, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow and the tares of battle." The Lord said to me, "Within a year, counting each day, all the glory of Kedar will come to an end. Only a few of its courageous archers will survive. I, the Lord God of Israel, have spoken." Hebrews chapter 11. Great examples of faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Even though God told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted," Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. for God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Well, how much more do I need to say? That's what the writer of Hebrews asks here in verse 32. How much more do I need to say? It's always the same story. It always has been, from the very beginning until now. So how much more needs to be said? From A to Z, from righteous A, Abel, to Z, Zechariah, and all the names in between, it's all been the same from beginning to end. The righteous live by faith. It's always been that simple, and it's always been that sublime. There's been no secret knowledge required. It's as simple as ABC, is trusting that there is a God and he has shown up in Christ and that he's going to mend this broken world, that God is here and he's with us, and that he's going to do something about this, that we can actually walk with him through this life, keeping our eyes focused on him. And now he's come to live in us and to empower us in this journey of faith. And that means we can begin to experience change right here, right now. And that, my friend, is good news. I don't have much more to say. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, what more needs to be said? It's always been by faith. The righteous have always lived by faith. Now we can stay out of the ditch of trying to perform our way into God's favor, and we can simply trust and rest in the favor that's been given to us through Christ. It's pretty simple, and the righteous have always held to it from A to Z. All of them. They've all lived by faith. And we too can add our name to that happy band of people that we've just read about today. And living by faith doesn't mean that it's always going to work out the way that we want it to work out here and now, but it does mean that it is going to work out in the end, that God's going to use all things together for the good, for those who love him, who trust him, who walk by faith. And I want to add my name to that group, my friend, and the invitation is there for us all to add our name to the alphabet of all those who have discovered that God loves us and that he's leading us home. That's a prayer that I have for my own heart today, that I will recognize that it is as simple as ABC, and I'll add my name to the names that are listed from A to Z, and all those that trust in him. That's the prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we're hanging our hat out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. If you got a moment, take it, will you, and let a brother know. Hey, if you'd like to stay in the know, you can do that very easily by signing up for our email newsletter. It's about to hit the press. It's about to end up in your email inbox, and I would love for you to have that, so sign up for the newsletter. You can do that right from the app itself. Just click on the link there. You can also go to dailyradiobible.com and sign up for the newsletter there. And while you're playing around with the app, how about doing this? How about sharing the app? We've made that so simple. All you have to do is click on the link there that says share the app, and you can pass it on to your friends. You know, there are a lot of folks out there that are hungry for the Word of God. And this podcast exists for people like that, for people who are hungry. So how about sharing the word today? And one last thing before I let you go. In that newsletter is going to be information about our upcoming trip to the Holy Land in April 2018. And now's a great time to begin to make preparations for that trip of a lifetime, journey of a lifetime. We're going to make a pilgrimage of the soul We're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and we're going to encounter the gospel in ways that are hard to fathom, my friend. They really are. I've been there 2 times now. This is going to be my 3rd time, and man, I can't wait. It is such a special place. And it's a great time to forge friendships, to make connections with other people that are walking this walk. So how about joining us as we take the walk through the Holy Land? You can find out information by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the link there for the 2018 Holy Land Journey. And you can begin that process of registration even now. Well, hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. Let's walk by faith, and let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.